You know, I'm all up for calling out people for, you know, not being British and all of that sort of stuff. But the amount of abuse that's been hurled at this woman, I feel so sorry for.
I've not seen this.
She's not Welsh on any level. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Fox and Father with me, the Fox, and him.
Father.
Look at that, fro. It's coming back.
I'm going to the barber after this shooting, and I'm going to get it shaped up and trimmed a little bit. But yeah, it's my winter fro is back.
What do they do? You're going to take a bit. How do you shape a fro?
Just like the audience through. Even it off, make it perfectly round and shaped, and then just, I don't know, sort the edges out. I don't know what they do. Just shape up, isn't it?
You've got a little bit of grey creepy in, Calf.
Yeah, I have course. None. On the sides there. Yeah.
I have none.
No?
I'm
you have an easier life than I do, obviously.
Really? do you think that's true?
Yeah.
How are you? I'm so sorry is this our first one of the year?
Yeah, it is. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Sorry, we couldn't do one because I was away. I did try doing one. You know what Larry's like? He's very insistent about these things. So I did try doing one with Larry when we were away on honeymoon.
Oh.
A chat with him, and it finished, and Harrison said, can you leave the app open so mm-hmm. that it uploads it? Mm-hmm. And an hour after I'd left the app left the app open, it had uploaded 1%.
Yeah, I imagine the internet was awful out there.
Well, in Vietnam. They're not Vietnam. Let's be Vietnamese.
Take a garlic with you when you go somewhere like that.
Yes. Why doesn't Elon do a mobile phone Starlink? I mean, surely that would do.
Portable one. You can take the little portable one with you everywhere and it fits in your pocket.
What?
Yeah. Just grab yourself a portable one.
Harrison?
Yeah. So you went to Vietnam. It was a late honeymoon. It sounded amazing. It looked amazing. Was it amazing?
It was amazing. You know what was amazing? I'll tell you what. I'll stop looking at portable Starlink Mini. He's right. It does. Okay. I'm thrilled about that.
Back to the show.
I'll tell you what was amazing is people in my family, I love my family, obviously, dearly, but they are a bunch of curmudgeons in a lot of ways. And one of the curmudgeonly things that I was raised on was, there's no point in going away, you know. You have to take yourself with you, you know. You stay and fight. And I'm like, if it's not, it's a honeymoon. And not that anyone said this about this particular trip, but that's generally the view whenever I decide that I want to go somewhere and see somewhere different. And there is an element of truth to the fact that you have to take yourself with you when you go somewhere.
What does that mean? But,
well, it's the idea that I think in that sort of old school English way that I was raised, it's like going on holiday for weak people. There's just something about it.
Oh.
That it was like, you know, you're trying to escape reality. And I'm like, well, no.
I suppose it is a very middle class thing to holiday, to go away.
Mm, maybe that's where it comes from. So anyway, we went. And after I'd done my, you know, usual OCD neuroticism of, you know, whatever I was neurotic about that day, we got into this, started this chat at about, I don't know, 11 o'clock one morning. And this chat, a conversation about the deepest things in life, extended over like nearly 2 days. Hmm. Just non-stop, just like talking about amazing stuff and just connecting and connecting and connecting and connecting. And I just thought, wow, that is why we're here. And because we haven't really, you know, haven't had a chance to reflect on marriage and all that sort of stuff since the wedding. So it was incredible in that way. The she dragged me off to do some cultural stuff, to look around pagodas and things, you know, as women do. Mm-hmm. And we went to the Crownson Pagodas, and one of the pagodas had a this, you know, went inside and it was beautiful, and there's like seashells, and it's made of coral, and you know, there's loads of different Buddhas. All of them look slightly creepy. Sorry to nothing against any Buddhists here, but they all they look really, maybe they just look really happy, but to me they look a tiny bit creepy. And then just as we're leaving this pagoda, this Vietnamese man comes up, and it's not a misrepresentation when Oliver Stone makes Platoon that the Vietnamese people go, no, 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 no. Because this guy comes up and goes, no, 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 and starts gesturing us to follow him. So I'm going, okay, fine. And I thought he was just going to show us around another pagoda. But he took us down the steps of the Tu Van Pagoda. You can look this up, because I was frantically looking this up in between moments of having trying to put my phone torch on, of what is called the 18 Steps to Buddhist Hell.
Right. Just pause there for a sec. Just so our viewers know, we have a UK citizenship debate coming up, UK-US relations and US civil rights and protest stuff. We do have some political stuff coming up, but I am genuinely interested. Why did you go to Vietnam?
Like, oh, hang on. I thought you were asking me how I was. Anyway,
we go down. I'm genuinely interested. Like, why? I've never... Vietnam's not on my list. I don't...
Exactly, because it's not on anyone's list. And okay. You can live like a king there for a tenner a day. Like, right. Literally a king. And a lot of people do. So a lot of people go to Vietnam and they use their 90-day tourist visa, and then they go into Cambodia and use their 90-day tourist visa, and then they come back and they flip and they flop, and you can live like a royal for £10 a day.
Must, so I understand why people do it. Living like a royal when everyone else is living like a pauper.
Yeah, well, you know, socialist elite. But I'm saying a tenner a day for English people, bearing in mind that going to the pub and having 2 pints of Guinness costs £12. Yeah. More than £12, you know. Anyway, so anyway, to the Buddhist hell. Buddhist hell is had a lot of demonic pictures in it, and it took half an hour to get through it. It was tunnels under the ground. It
they took you down to their hell.
Well, it was that's what it said in the Tu Van pagoda. Anyway, I'm aware that you want to come to Cairo and
vent. No, I want to. I just wanted people to know we are going to move on at some point. But I'm genuinely curious about this hell that they took you to.
Well, I don't think they have a hell. I think it's their imagination of what hell might be like to go through hell. So these tiny little gaps, bearing in mind Vietnamese people are quite small. I'm quite tall.
Don't they reincarnate?
My Buddhist theologianism is, or theology is not, I mean, that's even the wrong word, isn't it? So I don't know.
I'm sure Buddhists believe in reincarnation. Obviously, it's a heathen faith and it's false, but I didn't know they had a concept of hell, so that's fascinating.
Yeah, so that was that. And then we got back and we straight back to the madness of life, preparing for going to court in 6 weeks.
Must have been nice to have a break from all the lawyers.
Yes, I did get an email from the lawyers saying, can we have a Zoom? And I went, no, not unless it's absolutely categorically urgent. You can't have a Zoom until I get back. So I'm now back, which means I'm available for a Zoom. Don't Zoom me, though, please, lawyers. Okay. So how are you? Avoiding the cold?
Yeah, avoiding the cold. Here in Michigan, it's very snowy. It's been snowing. Well, it was snowing up until, I think, from Thanksgiving up until just before Christmas. Then it stopped for Christmas. And then since New Year, it's been snowing nonstop. It's quite blizzardy, quite snowy. The roads are very slippy. If you don't have four-wheel drive, I wouldn't advise going out on those roads. It's the kind of snow where you turn the corner and the rest of the car turns a moment after, which is quite fun, actually.
Well, that's a pickup, too, as well. Pickups are really loose on the back end, aren't they?
Yeah.
How is the F-150?
Love it. It's surviving. It's chugging along. But if I didn't have that, I wouldn't be able to get anywhere. When I was in Britain, I rented a car and they gave me this tiny, tiny little compact Mercedes, and I kid you not, it was painful to drive, because imagine me, my knees were up to about here. It's like when you see a clown unfold himself from a Mini Cooper in one of the Simpsons episodes. It was like that. And so I drove up to Durham, which is what, 4.5 hour drive from London, and it was just, that was not pleasant, and drove there and back. But Durham,
how long were you here for?
Just over a week. Popped in, popped out, spent Christmas with family, Went up for that graduation thing, which my mum loved, and then flew back. I did one day in London, and one day was enough. You know, yeah. The congestion charge, the ULEZ charge, the £10 an hour parking, and all of that stuff is not fun.
No.
Despite the, as well as the massive hordes of non-British people everywhere, it's just a crazy place right now. So I was glad to not have to spend much time there.
I had a feeling sorry, Sean, just quickly as a final thought before we get on to things. There's this lady who's called a Welsh ambassador or something. She's online. If Harrison could put a picture of her. You know, I'm all up for calling out people for, you know, not being British and all of that sort of stuff. But the amount of abuse that's been hurled at this woman, I feel so sorry for.
I've not seen this.
She's not Welsh on any level, which is why it's.
So what's the debate? So
she's in a hijab and she's very very foreign looking, and so I feel we do want to talk about you want to see British people in Britain stuff, but sometimes I feel like when they aim their ire at somebody, it seems like the internet aims their ire at just sort of what seems like a nice lady, and they've just gone at her, she's brown and all black and in a hijab, instead of like going, actually the problem is much deeper than that. It's not what you look like necessarily, it's what you believe in.
Well, there's some of that, and even if it is what you look like, even if that has some part to play in it, it's how you treat people is important.
She was talking about healthcare. That's all she was talking about.
How people treat her. Like, yeah. You can make an argument to say that we don't want X, Y, Z types of people in Britain, or we only want this number of those people in Britain, but the ones that are there, you still treat them humanely and with dignity when you're booting them out. I had a debate. So Edward Dutton, I like Ed Dutton, he put out a video. He interviewed Steve Laws, who, of course, has been doing a lot of interviews lately. He is the figurehead of the Ethno-Nets. Tommy Robinson calls him £7 Steve. I like a lot of what Steve has to say, but I disagree with what Steve has to say too. And he put out this clip, which was very ill thought out, just a weak argument full of anecdotes and category errors, but essentially saying that mixed race people are not properly British or properly English because look at Bob Villain, right? This is the stereotypical mixed race person who they hate our language, they hate our land, and they put out things like "Want your country back? F you," which Bob Villain did, and Bob Villain's clearly not a nice guy. But I put out a response to Steve, and I said, you know, I was expecting more of an ethno-nat argument rather than a political stance, because mixed race people can be libtards. Bob Villain is a libtard.
Yeah.
But white English people can be libtards too. It's not about skin color. It's not even about ethnicity. That's about politics. And so my argument was that, and I'll quote, "I am mixed race, 52% white English, 48% black Afro-Caribbean. No one is going to undermine my heritage, lineage, or ethnicity. No one has the right to deny my claim to my land and my people based on my melanin count. Blood and soil mean something. You are who you are born to and where you are raised matter. My family has been English for hundreds of years. A line must be drawn, but this is not it. Are dual nationalities a problem? Yes. Are dual loyalties a problem? Yes. Do all mixed race people fall into both of those categories? Of course not. In fact, many white English people fall into those categories too. This is not an argument for deporting people based on their ethnicity. It's an argument for deporting people based on their politics. And that is a civ-nat argument, not an ethno-nat argument. Anyone with English parents and English grandparents has a claim to England. If you start proposing to deport Englishmen, you've lost the argument over about, 2% of the population who are nowhere near the primary problem. 10 times that number of people, at least in Britain, are foreigners. Deport the 20% of the population who are not at all ethnically English, Welsh, or Scottish. 11 million plus people who have zero claim to the land or the people. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Except one bit, which I want to ask you about, which is, dual nationality is a problem. So I suppose you're then referring to somebody who, you know, I suppose Kemi Badenoch is the first person that would almost come to mind in that situation, because she does hold a Nigerian citizenship as well, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's like Rishi Sunak also had an American one. I think he got rid of his. Boris Johnson had dual nationality. I don't think our prime ministers, I don't think our...
What was Boris Johnson's second nationality?
American.
No.
Yeah, yeah. He had an American passport.
Boris.
I don't think our cabinet ministers should have dual nationality. I think if you're going to serve in England, you should be English and only English. And if you have a dual nationality, you should give that up, because otherwise you have dual loyalties. You can't be loyal to two countries.
We've had that conversation a lot of time. I swear by Almighty Allah that I'm going to be a good MP. It's like, really? No.
But my point is that what Steve Laws and them lot are doing is they're overreacting now. They're overcorrecting. Like, they're saying it's more important to be white than to be English, and forgetting that, yes, for 2,000 years, well, for the entirety of England, English people have been white, but that's not the determining factor. That is a consequence of place and people. And so we now have people who do have English heritage, who do have English grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents, who have a claim to the blood and to the soil, who don't happen to be 100% white. I am half white, half black. And I dare anyone to try and kick me out of my country. You know, I'm English till I die, and I would fight to the death over that. And so it's a case of who are you wanting to kick out and why? Yes, there are people in England who do not belong in England, who weren't born in England, don't have any claim to the soil, don't have any claim to the land or any blood claim, don't have any parents or grandparents or great grandparents that have any claim to it either. So yes, that is an issue. But people who do, how is that an issue? And pointing at someone like Bob Villain is a very weak strawman argument.
Yeah, well, but I mean, that's my problem, being my problem with Steve Laws from the start. It's like, you know, if the whole thing's based on melanin, you're the same as the wokies, you know.
It's because they have nothing else. They don't have a set of beliefs. They don't have a faith. And so they put their faith in their skin color, which is...
Well, he's a victim. He's a victim. So he's again doing what the wokies do, which is saying, I'm a victim. My little white people are being oppressed by the darky people. And it's like, fine. And to a degree, he's correct.
Right.
But, and his grievance is right. You know, tripping over yourself, for examples of the way that white people are treated differently from the anointed ethnic minority classes in Britain. And so he's right on that level, but you can't base any argument on skin colour, I don't think. I think the minute you talk about skin colour,
England should be predominantly white because English people are predominantly white, but that's not the determining factor. Like, British people are oppressed because they are British and because they are Christian, or English people are oppressed because they're English and because they're Christian people. Like, they're not oppressed because of their skin colour. And sometimes they are, but that's not the main factor. So we don't want to say England must be 100% white. What we want to say is England must be 100% English. And that by the consequence of that means it would be predominantly white.
You're becoming
the whiteness that's the important aspect. That's an element of the ethnicity, which is the culture, the people, the language, the place, the heritage, the lineage.
You've become a Civnat over Christmas.
No, I'm not a Civnat at all. I'm not a Civnat or an Ethnonat. These are ideologies that people base their whole identity on. I'm a Christian, first and foremost. And I believe our Christian land should be defended. And I think it's important that British people and English people have a right to their land, just as other peoples have a right to their land, if rights to lands are a thing. And we should be defending our land, and we should be deporting people who hate our land. But we shouldn't be deporting people just based on their skin colour. I think that's...
No, exactly. When they were talking about mayors, and, you know, there's endless clips of Sadiq Khan talking about Mirpur and what's her name, Shabina Mahmood, to go on and on and on about this one little region of Pakistan where they want to build an airport so you can get more and more of these people from it. And I just sit there and I go, there is no, I grokked and I chat GPT'd and Googled method or whatever the hell that is to find out how many non-Christian, non-Muslim mayors there are in any Islamic country as of halfway through our honeymoon, as of, you know.
Is it zero or close to zero?
It's exactly zero, yeah. So the difficulty is that the situation is going to get more and more complicated, which is that this poor girl who I was referring to earlier, hopefully Arison can dig out the clip, who was just talking about healthcare.
Right.
But in a hijab, and, you know, she was not a small lady. So there were a couple of bits to mock about her. If you just superficially in the visual world, I'm talking about, she wasn't talking about Islam or blah, 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 but she was talking about being Welsh. I'm going, you know, it's almost like the hand grenade has gone off. The muted noise is in the ear already. You know, people are going to claim to be British because they happen to have been born here.
Well, she's making the same mistake that Steer's making, but from the other direction. Like, she's not Welsh. She will never be Welsh. If she wasn't born in Wales, she doesn't have Welsh grandparents or parents, and she has no claim to the blood or the soil. She's not going to be Welsh, but she can appreciate Wales and Welsh culture. She can love Welsh culture, and she can come and become a British citizen in Wales, but that doesn't make her Welsh. And so that's important, that distinction.
The other thing that drives me mad, I was talking to Sunil Sharma this week. I don't really talk to people that much, but I spoke to him and I really liked him. Is this obsession on that side of the argument with, like, indigenous land and stolen land and trying to go back to year zero of where we all came from, but at the same time saying, well, I'm Welsh.
Right.
It's like, well, hang on. How does your indigenous argument pass over onto this conversation? Because surely you're stealing my land. You literally are stealing my land. Especially people with, you know, the total rational view to turn around and say, you know, you speak English in England, being as we live in England. You know, it's like, well, that's the language of the indigenous people. You know, and they're very offended. Now we're going to go into what we
take these things for granted. So it goes back to the word right. Do we actually have a right to our land? No, we claim our land through sheer willpower, through politics, through warfare, and through time and culture and building these things up. As a British culture has been built up over over 1,000 years, right? And so that it means something and it matters. American culture has been built up over a quarter of that, but it means something and it matters. But American culture is a good example because it's not the same as what it was 250 years ago, which was mostly English. And just before that, there were, some savage tribes who liked to kill each other lived here, but they didn't cultivate the land and they didn't build a culture here, which has been replaced. Yes, absolutely. But the crux to that is it could be replaced again. And that's the same for all of us. Like Britain, we take it for granted that what British culture is and who the British people are, but that's been built up over centuries and it could be changed overnight. And so if we want it to stay the same, we have to fight for it. We have to cling to it. And that's
No. We've got to fight for the Danish people and Greenland, which has always belonged to Danish people. Come on, Cal, we've got to protect the national sovereignty of Denmark.
We have to protect our own national sovereignty. Whatever happens in Greenland has
absolutely nothing. If you're Keir Starmer, he gives more of a shit about Denmark than he does.
That's an interesting one because from the American perspective, I see that as like, so I don't believe in neocons. I don't believe in a world police, right? Of going around spreading mild democracy. I think that's lame. It's gay. But I do believe in imperialism, right? Colonialism. I believe in going around and building your empire and spreading the Christian faith. I see that as a good thing and slightly different to the neocon spreading of democracy. But is that what they're doing? If they're saying, look, we need Greenland because it's closest to Russia and China and we need to protect this geographic space, it will be amazing for our empire, then good for them, do it. And the same with Venezuela, if they need to do that. But if they're doing it because, we need to for capitalist reasons or for neocon reasons or spreading more democracy, I think that's fake and gay. So it depends on the motivation behind it, really.
Well, the motivation is obviously pretty simple. It's not about democracy on any level. You know, the Greenland's been ignored by everybody for ages until they suddenly worked out that it's a very strategic and useful thing for America to have control over. And also clever the way that Trump has done it, in my view, to turn around and bring back into question this idea of what an ally is. So Caroline Leavitt's thing where she spoke very, very, you know, they're trying to ask her about Greenland and she's trying to turn around and go, you're not our allies anymore. And this, and Starmer got a special mention in that speech that Britain, and we were warned by J.D. Vance in Munich, and I think we've just been warned again. It's like, you are not our allies. You think that this, you know, we bemoan the special relationship when we've got Obama, who's like, you're at the back of the queue unless you do all of our woke socialist crap. And then Trump turned around and said the same thing. He said, if you don't prioritize free speech in your societies, then you are not our allies. Why should we foot the bill for you to behave like a bunch of commie wankers?
Well, it's a good point. I mean, we are allies technically. We do have allied agreements.
Yeah, no, I know.
Like, for example, Israel has no allied agreement with America. But we are bad allies. And actually, the special relationship has always been propaganda. It always has been. We've used that to rope America into our world wars, into our European wars, to make them into world wars, where America probably wasn't in their best interest to do so. So it's been, we've used America. As our empire crumbled, we've used them because they were strength. They were the big guys. And so I think it's right for America to say, well, we're putting America first now. And the whole of NATO is just sponging off America. Why? What does America get out of it? America actually benefits from a weak Europe. Not too weak, strong enough to stand up to Russia, but not strong enough to stand up to America.
Well, I mean, Europe could never stand up to America, could it? I mean, at the end of the day.
I mean, it did do for the entirety of history up until 100 years ago.
Well, what do you mean?
Since World War II, that America has been the biggest empire in the West. Like, before that, it was Britain, and Germany was approaching levels of Britain, which is why we ended up with World War I and World War II, or to some degree. You know, France had major empires before that. So Europe has had the biggest empires in the West for most of civilized history up until very recently. So again, we take it for granted that America is the biggest, but it's only because they benefited monetarily, massively so, after World War II, whereas we didn't, because we owed them a lot of money.
I think we just
could funnel loads of money into their military where we couldn't, and we shrunk. And actually, we signed stupid agreements where we had to shrink the size of our armed forces.
Well, we're still signing deals to sign away the even Daniel Hernan, who I think is a bit of a wet on a lot of issues. Even he was saying, you know, if we gave up Chagos for money, if we sold it, you know, because Britain needs money, then okay, great. But the reality is that we're paying to give it away. This endless.
Why do we want to give it away? Like, what do we get out of giving it away?
Nothing.
I think we should be gaining more territories, not giving away territories. It's ridiculous.
I couldn't agree more, which is what capitalism is so good at doing. So, you know, sorry, just to quickly revert back to the hotel that we were staying at. That the economy in Vietnam is growing faster than almost anywhere else in that part of the world. Yet it's so dedicated, and you drive down the road and you'll see hammer and sickles everywhere. But they're allowing people to prosper, outsiders to prosper. Do you know what I mean? And I suppose the model has been reversed in the UK in some way, which is like, we'll somehow increase our wealth if we allow a load of foreigners in.
And that's a good model. You know, that works in the Arab states. You know, you can move to Dubai or Saudi Arabia or Qatar. You can move to these places. And most of the time when you move to these places in Arabia, you don't become an Arab, right? You don't even become an Arab, a citizen. It's very difficult to get citizenship. You definitely don't get the nationality, or you don't become one of their people. But they do allow you to prosper. They allow you to make a lot of money. They allow you to pay taxes. But you don't get to vote. You don't get to change their culture. You don't get to change their laws. You expect to live within their culture and their laws. That makes sense. It's common sense. I don't know why we don't do that. If we're going to have any immigration in Britain or in America, in the West in general, then there's an argument about whether we should at all. But if we are going to have some, people should come over and expect to live by our laws, our culture. They should not be able to vote. The fact that there was a debate in Britain recently about should we ban foreigners from voting? Like, what? How is that not already the law? It's ridiculous.
But also that was, again, slightly misleading. So if you look into it, which foreigners are allowed to vote, Rupert Lowe was being a bit bombastic about that. But let's talk about foreigners and what is a foreigner and what values are within inside a country. So as I'm going into Saigon to get my...
Did you wear one of those hats, like Raiden from Mortal Kombat?
Or no, Lizzie did a lot though.
Did she?
And yeah,
send me a pic.
And yeah, it caused quite a lot of stir on the internet. That did.
On the internet, oh, it's online.
I was focusing on the hat, but because obviously I see her acquisitions, her natural bodily figure all the time. So I wasn't thinking so much about the bit below the hat. I was thinking about the hat itself, but most of the comments seemed to be about what was going on, you know, from the shoulder down.
Oh, she's Mrs. Fox on Twitter now. That's sweet.
Yeah, she is. She's managed to do that. But as I'm getting into Saigon or Ho Chi Minh City, depending on which, you know, whether you're in a Vietnam War movie or the modern world, I see online an email from the government to Eva Vladingerbroek,
right,
who is our friend, and she has had her ETA. I think, I don't know what it stands for. English Travel. You know, unappealable, totally banned. She's not allowed to come to the UK. And I'm okay.
Yeah, her visa waiver was revoked. So she's not actually banned from the UK. What they're saying is you'll need to apply for a visa if you want to come to the UK. And of course, when she applies, they'll reject her application. And so it's a soft banning, isn't it? This is what they do. They never actually outright say, well, you're not coming over here. They're like, use bureaucracy against you. But she had no plans to come, which is interesting. She had no travel arrangements. So she hadn't booked any flights. She wasn't planning to come here. In the future, she was obviously going to come to a future event in a few months, but there was no plans in stone for her to come over. And so you've got to look at, well, why now? Why revoke her ETA now? Nothing's been triggered on the system, as in, like, she's not processed her passport, not booked a flight, etc. And so when you look at what she's been tweeting, she criticized Sir Keir Starmer 3 days before they revoked her ETA.
He's a vile man. But so just to juxtapose that with Ala Abdel Fattah, who has said online, so obviously he hasn't criticised Keir Starmer, the cardinal sin of all of them, but he said we need to kill more of them, and in reference to Zionists, and the killing of Zionists is heroic. I am a racist. I don't like white people, so piss off. Police are not human. They don't have rights. We should just kill them all. Go burn the city or Downing Street or hunt the police, you fools. So Keir Starmer, has said is a priority. He literally stood up in Parliament and said it's a priority.
I just see the picture of the hat.
Keir Starmer says he's a priority to get back in England. I'm in a court for saying less than that next month.
I know, it's insane. And they were celebrating him coming back. How? What are you celebrating? This man, he hates white people, which should be more important to the politicians than the fact that he hates Zionists. He hates English people, and they want to invite him back and welcome him and celebrate his return.
Why?
At the same time, white European girl who's harmless is no longer welcome.
Why don't white people stand up for themselves? Why don't white people turn around and say, you know what, not putting up with this? You know, I know the white guilt thing, but we've had enough of it now.
Yeah.
So my kids, their mate, the young people I meet are just like, I don't want to live like this. I don't want to live. Why are the grown-ups like Keir Starmer such Islamic appeasers? What is the underlying thing that makes them want to, like, go, we're so sorry, you're a Muslim, it's amazing, even though we've had our buses blown up, we've had our trains blown up, we've had concerts blown up, we've had people beheaded, it's just an ending scourge of violence. Why does the British political class still think it's fashionable to their constituency rather than whether they morally think it's correct? I mean, I understand why they morally think it's correct. They like aborting children and experimenting on them, so I know where their morals are. But why do they think it's going to resonate with their constituency to constantly appease Islam? Is it because they've done a demographic graph and gone, we're going to have two chaps, otherwise we're never getting voted for ever again? Is that what's happened?
Maybe. When we see them voting in Parliament, and there's a vote to outlaw first cousin marriages, and they all vote against it. You're like, wait a minute, what is going on? It's clear they're appeasing a certain voter block, and they want to stay in power. And it's working for them, isn't it, really? They are in power.
Well, all of them are going to be in power in the near future. But I think that Trump's emphasis on the free speech thing and Caroline Levitt's thing on free speech is, as I've always said from the very beginning of my entire stupid journey down this ridiculous path that I don't really want to be on, it has been that, you know, the central pillar is free speech. And if you don't have free speech, you're absolutely screwed. And I was reflecting today, actually, before we spoke, I said to you the other day, I pretty much every day I read your sermon from our wedding. And I really think it's an incredibly wise thing. And I will tell it to my boys when it's coming time for them to make big decisions about who they want to spend their life with. But I don't agree with you on quite a lot of things, right? But it doesn't bother me. I don't lose sleep over it. Right. I'm like, okay, well, so explain to me, Calv, why you think this. And I don't take it as some sort of personal, horrible... I don't understand people that do, actually. No. In fact, all of the people that I get this a lot.
People say, especially on X, and I've got a new way of using X, so I don't see this as much now, but what? How are you friends with Lawrence Fox? He doesn't believe X, Y, Z. I'm like... Yeah, not all of my friends believe the same things. I don't know why that's an issue to you. Do all of your friends believe exactly the same things that you believe? That's very weird, actually.
It is weird. And weirdly, it tends to be the people that say that you need to be morally and principally consistent on every single issue tend to be the ones that aren't. So, you know, I've had a pop at the Free Speech Union before about it, but, you know, this whole thing of, like, yours is not the kind of free speech we like. I'm like, well, what's fine having a Free Speech Union then? You know, these are the people that, what they do, and they're like the Farages and the wolves in sheep's clothing. What they do is they're the ones saying, my principles will not be moved. Here's another set of principles I've got for you. So I always see disagreement, and I always have done my entire life, and maybe it comes from acting. I see disagreement and, you know, and debate and intellectual conflict as a good thing. I think it's fascinating when people don't agree and to draw them out. And my mum always used to say, draw people out, or try and understand why they think what they think, rather than just shit on what they think. And over the many years of doing that in my life, I've actually developed some wisdom, which is don't just hate people because they don't agree with you about things. Go, why do you disagree? And I think that's what Trump's point was. It was like, this is the fundamental cornerstone of what differentiates the West from, you know, the no church, no state, no nothing, just Islam, that we're under attack from.
And well, he's out there at Davos right now at the WEF saying something similar, like globalism has failed. I heard his chap said, and Trump got up there and mocked Macron. But I think it's good. They need to hear that, because all these people, these libtard globalists who don't have an actual thought of their own or an idea of their own, just copy and pasting policy from each other that is harmful to sovereign nations, they need to hear a difference of opinion. I think Larry's out there, isn't he?
Larry's out there. I'm going out to Poland next on the weekend, actually, to go, and I'm going to Auschwitz because I've never been, and I want to go to Auschwitz because I just want to go there, and I want to go and see. I'm going to go and meet a few people out in Poland, because Poland seems saner than almost everywhere else in Europe at the moment. You know,
yeah,
in terms of what they do in terms of politics. Actually, I must contact Dominic.
A few of our friends went over there recently, didn't they? It was the whole jaunt. It seemed interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Right. I wanted to ask you about what I wanted to ask you something. What do I want to ask you? Oh. Can you hear dogs in the background?
No.
Going mental. Okay. Oh, right. Yeah. This Don Lemon thing. Can you, first of all, let's just watch that video now.
So, yeah. Guy standing up now saying, get out of our shirt. Yeah, he's screaming. They're trying to calm him down. So I don't know if this is what they deem as successful or not. But anyways, I'm not going to get in the middle of it because I'm not here as an activist. I'm here as a journalist. So... I don't think they know what to do. I'm sure they probably call the local authorities right now, and they'll show up in a bit, but so far no one has been hurt. People are just really angry and upset, and members of the church are trying to get them to calm down. But this is the beginning of what's going to happen here. When you violate people's due process, when you pull people off the street, and you start dragging them and hurting them and not abiding by the Constitution, when you start doing all of that, people get upset and angry. And if you remember what the civil rights movement was about, the civil rights movement was about these very kinds of protests. And for some reason, in our modern era, people think that in order to have protests, you got to be, what time you can protest. There's nothing in the Constitution that tells you what time you can protest. You can protest at any time. That's the whole point of it, is to disrupt, to make uncomfortable. And that's what they're doing. And that's what I believe when I say everyone has to be willing to sacrifice something. You have to make people uncomfortable in these times. If you see how uncomfortable people, uncomfortable.
Just these crazy anti-ICE protesters that somehow not only have no respect for the law or the sovereignty of the land, for national borders, for the people of the country. Not only do they have none of that, but they have no respect for the church. So they had they stormed a church, and they purposefully said, you can see this footage of Don Lemon saying, you know, it's going to cause trauma to the people in the church. And it did. There's these little girls there crying, for goodness sake, because they're all there to worship Jesus Christ. And in comes this mob of libtards shouting and screaming and rioting, essentially, in a place of worship. Well, in this country, it goes against the First Amendment, which is the freedom of worship. And so they're going to face consequences. There's the FACE Act. There's the KKK Act, actually, which will be very, there'll be a lot of poetic justice if Don Lemon gets found guilty through the KKK Act, which means you can't impede someone else's civil rights. And again, the First Amendment is the right to freedom of worship as well as right to freedom of speech. They just hate their own country and their own people so much that they don't want the law to stop illegals coming in and raping their daughters and murdering people on the streets. They'd rather that and look nice to each other in their socialist circles of how good they are with their open borders. It's insane. It's weird. It's self-harm.
It's also what socialists are, which is, I got a taste of this in Vietnam, as I was saying, you can live like a king for a tenner. I was in a really nice place, right? But when we went out to the pagoda, there you'd see an entire family of four on a scooter, you know, with a little baby, front shot, no helmet, no nothing, you know, would drive the health and safety net is nuts. But, you know, that's the way they transported themselves around. I saw people digging around in the hedge for bits of metal and plywood and whatever they could find to sell. So I was living like a socialist elite would in Britain. And some of the people staying in our hotel, I don't know whether they were government officials or not, but they were met in cars with flags on them, who were staying in the same hotel, you know, Vietnamese flags. So you get a taste of what it's like to live in socialist utopia, which is utopia for me, not for thee. And I suppose the appeasement of all of that comes in that way. But does Don Lemon, by the way, bad news, that is his actual name.
No way. He's from the Lemon family.
According to Grok, his full birth name is Don Carlton Lemon.
What?
But on his Wikipedia page, it lists his birth name as Don Ronaldo Lemon Clark.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Before his biological... Anyway, I mean...
It's just Don Ronaldo. Just typical,
Don Ronaldo. Why wouldn't you just change your name to Don Ronaldo instead? It's so much better. Welcome to CNN with Don Ronaldo. But his argument from the clip is, you know, we have a right to assembly, we have the right to free speech. So the left kind of use free speech as a way of spitting in your face, whereas the right use free speech to defend the left.
If you have the right to free speech, but you don't have the right to impede on someone else's freedom of worship. Like, your rights don't impede on anyone else's rights. That's common sense.
Yeah, it is common sense, but it's also, it can be argued the other direction, which is that a thing that my mum was about was like, it was always about intention. So you can say something horrible, you can say some horrible words to someone, call them all manner of horrible words in a very affectionate way. You know, in the same way as you can call someone something quite nice in a very unaffectionate way. So it's all about context and intention, isn't it? And then what the left do is they put the worst possible context and the worst possible intention behind everything everyone does. And what we do is we defend their right to do it. And I say, at what point do we turn around and say, this is hugely damaging to society and to our people, and you can't negotiate with these people, they're terrorists.
So I think Tommy Dillon's going to do something. I think if Pam Bondi doesn't do something, she'll be gone. Like, people are sick of her anyway. She's been absolutely useless as Attorney General. Helmut's the Attorney General, isn't it? What's Pam's role? Anyway,
Pam Bondi has the AG. Yeah.
Yeah, but she's not arrested anyone for any major crime. And so this is such an easy win. This is such low-hanging fruit that, you know, the Democrats would do it. Well, we saw what they do on January 6th. They fake it in order to do it. And so the Republicans are in power now. They need to clamp down on evil from the other side and not just pander to them and try to be nice to them. It doesn't work. People are sick and tired of it.
What do you think of... So I always look to America as a beacon and, you know, always have, and you obviously so much do that you've gone and lived there. So my fear is the sort of, you know, the not fear, my interest is the enormous fluid nature of American politics, is that you could get the Dems back. I mean, you could get them back at the end of Trump's tenure in the same way as we could get here, which no one ever listens to when I say it in the UK. Is like, you can carry on defecting from the Conservatives all you like, but they're going to get 19-20% of the vote, and Reform are going to get whatever they get. And the Greens and the Libs and the Labour, who are actually the most right-wing party in Britain at the moment, which is ironic, they are going to have a bigger voter block than the Reform Conservative lot, I would suggest. I think so
just to correct myself, Pam Bondi is the Attorney General. Harmeet Dillon's the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights, the DOJ. But Harmeet does stuff. Like, she's good.
I
disagree with her on stuff in the past, but she gets stuff done. Pam Bondi does not. But to your point, this is why the Republicans, now that they are in office, they have the House, the Senate, they have the presidency, they need to do some stuff, right? And so they need to prevent the left from destroying the country, because when the left get back in, when the Democrats get back in, they will impeach Trump. You know, they will flood the Supreme Court with a whole host of Democrats. They will do whatever they can to turn this country into hell. And so Republicans, while they've got power, need to use it for good and stop. Is this the problem I have with right-wing people or conservatives? It's the same thing the Conservative Party did for 14 years. It's just maintaining. It's conserving the Liberal Party from before them. Like, we conserved Tony Blair's hell for however long. The Republicans are doing the same, conserving the Democrat hell. Like, turn things around. Become more of a reactionary. Like, seek truth, tradition, goodness, but through order. This is what the right should be doing.
Yeah. The difficulty in that, just as philosophically and practically, is that the right want less control. So Jordan Peterson, would talk about, you know, make your own bed, order over chaos, all that sort of stuff. The order to a right-wing person is leave me the hell alone, essentially. That's what order means to them. Whereas to chaos, to a left-wing person, it's like, I was thinking about devolution today and Wales and the Senedd. They want to increase the number of seats in the Senedd by, I don't know, a third or something. It's ridiculous. So the idea of devolution and letting people look after their own stuff is a good idea. But what happens is whenever you create a system, the left will hijack that system immediately. So, whereas the right won't. So ultimately, the simple principle of devolution is quite good, which is, you know, you sort out your own problems. But actually what happens is it just gets hijacked and you get a bunch of lunatics saying you can only drive 20 miles an hour over the whole of Wales. So what the right, for the right to do something, what the right should really do is actively promote individual liberty, to say, this is your country, how do you want it to be? So it's sort of, rather than legislating it, because you can't really legislate freedom. I mean, you can in the First and Second Amendment, but you can't remove a judge that was appointed by Biden. You know, you can't remove that judge.
You can remove the judge's power. The judges are bullying the president. That shouldn't be possible. So you remove some of their power. You remove the filibustering. Like there are things you can, active steps you can take, and they need to take those steps. And then when something comes up like this, you arrest Don Lemon. Should have been done yesterday, right? And it's very public, and it sets an example. Because this is what they do. Like we know that the left are the fascists that they accuse us of, but we can learn something from them. We never
arrested him.
No, not yet. No. I mean, not as we record. As this comes out, maybe they have. But as of yet, nothing's happened and nothing ever happens.
Yeah, nothing ever happens is so true. But the other thing is that Abdel El Fattah or whatever. Yes, Lawrence Fox. I said, has he been arrested? And it went, yes, Lawrence Fox has been arrested multiple times. I wasn't asking about myself.
But to your point about devolution, Nick, these things are all about context. So in Britain, we shouldn't have devolution, right? We have the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Like England runs those countries from our parliament, which is why people, when they say to me, we need an English parliament, I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way. The English parliament runs the entirety of Britain, or it should do. So there shouldn't be a Scottish parliament, and a Welsh parliament, and a Northern Irish parliament. They shouldn't have them. Get rid of them. That doesn't work. Whereas in America, it's the exact opposite. The federal government shouldn't have as much power as it has. The states is where the power should lie. And each state is essentially its own state, its own country almost. And it has independence and its own microcultures. And they need to be protected too. That federalist idea is very different to what we have in Britain. And so the context matters.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I'm just now looking at this. So he hasn't been arrested, but Harmeet, who I love. Harmeet Dhillon, by the way, is my Fox and Father follows. She has followed me for ages. I followed her for ages. A lot of what she posts on social media.
I saw her
media.
Recently in DC, and I apologized for being very blunt in a private debate that we had after she led prayers at the RNC. And she was very graceful and accepted my apology and shown forgiveness. And I appreciate that. It's both apologies and forgiveness are something we need more of when people are in the wrong.
Also understanding, or I certainly think that one's got to separate out a political ideology from a faith. And I think that, you know, I think Christians should be respectful of people of different faiths. I don't think Christians, or anyone for that matter, must necessarily be respectful of people's political ideologies, especially if they're conquering and just disastrous.
I disagree with all of that. Everything you just said. I don't think we can separate politics from faith, because our politics should come from our faith, because our faith is what's right and wrong. And I don't think we should be respectful of all other faiths. I think some faiths are evil.
I don't think you should be respectful of all other faiths. I'm not saying you're not hearing me out. See, you could take some of my mother's advice, which was to draw me out.
We can respect the people. And I feel like I respect Harmeet Dhillon. She does great work as a lawyer. I don't respect her faith. I don't respect anyone's faith that's not Christianity. I think false faiths are bad for the person and for our society.
Okay. I think that God would ask us to reject false idols, 100%.
Yes.
But I also think...
We should reject Buddhism, Sikhism, Hinduism, Judaism, Mohammedanism. We should reject all of them. Now, that's not to say we should be horrible to people. We should love all people. Even our enemies need to be loved. And so the respect is for the individual, but the false ideologies and the false religions should have no respect from us as Christians whatsoever. We should smash false idols at every opportunity we get.
Why was Jesus so patient with people?
Who said he was?
Well, it's
pretty much every time he met someone.
He was. What about when that dude died, and he was like, "You got to come, he's dying," and he didn't come for 2 days.
Lazarus.
That wasn't an issue
of patience. That was it. He wanted to prove a point, and which he did very well. But I don't think Jesus was. He was patient, but I don't think he should. I don't think what you're trying to say. I don't think that makes sense. I don't think he was just patient with everyone to the point of tolerating falsehoods. I think he was patient in the virtue of patience, but I don't think he would tolerate falsehoods in that he would say to every single person he healed, he would say, "Go away and sin no more." Like, he would tell them straight up. He'd rebuke them straight up. He wouldn't
really
say,
"Okay, bothers me that I'm a libtard, and everyone thinks I'm Adolf Hitler." It's really unfair. I'm a total libtard. Right, we're gonna have to go on to the questions because I can't get to the bottom of it. Okay. Nicki Minaj apparently wants Don Lemon arrested, which is good.
She is so cool. I'm loving Nicki Minaj lately.
Let me get to our questions. I'm going to go to ones that Harrison has picked out rather than the ones like, "Why are you such a terrible father, failed actor and politician?" I'm like, okay, thanks, mate. Right. Okay. SYBeyond88 asks us, "With the amount of Muslim issues in the UK and around the world, are you worried that it's now gone too far and other religions will get overrun?"
Yes. We need to denounce Islam as evil because it is, and we've gone over this, why it's evil so many times, but we need to stop treading on eggshells and just do it. We need to eradicate it from our lands.
Okay, so there's a load of Islam questions because obviously people love it. So sorry, Mr. Flags. Good name, though. Johnny Boy 57. "Why do people believe and follow Labour and their plans when the lie just gets harder? I understand that the Tories hardly made it any better, but what choice do we have as the working class? Is reform our only chance?"
I think the
question is why is 20% of the British population very socialist and very, you know, on side with the Labour agenda?
Grok, what percentage of the British population is retarded?
You're so funny.
Approximately 2% of the population. So I don't know. I don't know why 20% of the population votes for Labour. I suppose they must be either burying their heads in the sand or I don't know. Something wrong with them spiritually.
So this week, reform. Talk to me about reform. Is reform the only answer?
They've shown that by recruiting many conservative rejects and apparently some Labour rejects coming up too. And not just people with experience, but people who harmed our country, like Nadim Zawahi or Zahawi, whatever it is. The one who pushed the jabs on young people. Wicked. Against JCVI advice. So even against the pushers, he was pushing it harder.
His crime is even worse than that crime against humanity, is that he pushed very, very strongly for the net zero bollocks to be put in schools, so our children are terrified of breathing. Yeah. Very rarely,
really awful man.
I know, but they don't care. They care about power. I don't. I've got that much time.
Yeah, absolutely. They've shown that they only care about power. The people that are taking on, it shows that they want to become, as we've always said, part of the establishment. They're now proving that. And so people's eyes are opening. They're like, oh, you guys were right all along. But that's horrible because it means people are lost now. And once again, they're like, well, so what's our option? Or people are doubling down. No, no, Nigel's our guy. And they make an idol of him. Like, he can do no harm. He's the trust the plan. Never trust the plan. Never trust the person. Trust in God only.
Yeah. Okay. Very, for the very, very rarely. Oh, no, there is one. I love it. I was like, wow, there's some actual questions when I go lob in some questions. And, you know, at least half the questions are, why are you such a failed person? So I'd just like to reach out to AD, Kuman AD, for saying fake priest and failed actor, back for more bigoted shite. Thank you.
thank you for watching.
This is a good question, Martin Clark. Can you clarify, and this is obviously a dig at me because he's, you know, can you clarify if Jews should be allowed to sit in the House of Commons in your brave new world, Lawrence? So that's obviously a question for me. I say,
are you creating a brave new world?
Well, only according to Martin Clark. Oh, he doesn't follow me, so it's just a... But that's so weird. If you don't follow somebody, but you will engage, I don't understand that. And he's not a bot.
I know the mentality of people that spend their time making jabs at people they hate. Like, that's that negative space of just, I don't like that person, let me go and tweet them. It's like, what is wrong with you? There's something
I don't understand. I tweet at people for a response. If I tweet something at someone, it's because I want to know. Or I want to expose.
Like, anyway, come on, what's your answer?
My answer is yes. My answer is that's it.
Why?
Yeah, because they're putting their hand on the same Bible.
No, they're not. They're literally not.
Well, they're putting their hand
they're
on
the Bible. They're not putting their hands on this.
The New Testament.
Even the half that they have isn't the full half. There's so much in this Bible that warns against them. The fact that you say they're putting their hands on the same book is wrong. This is a Christian country, therefore only Christians should be able to represent the Christian people. There should be no Hindus, Muslims, Sikhs, Buddhists, Jews, Satanists, Freemasons in Parliament at all.
I you know what, logically, I can't fault your argument. It's like you're either a Christian country with Christian politicians or you're not. I suppose for me, as a libtard, as the libtards Adolf Hitler, I'm of the view that, you know, the intermingling relationship between Jews and Christians is huge. And, you know, whether the Jews believe Jesus is the Messiah or not doesn't really, you know, it doesn't kind of enter into it for me. I'm just like, you know.
Does it enter into it if they killed him or not? Well, if the man you love more than anyone else in the universe was killed by a particular demographic, does that not matter at all?
Yeah, it does. It really, really, really does. And I think that's where a lot of anti-Semitic feeling comes from, which is that, you know, the Jews did it. And, you know, I totally understand the argument. It's not that I don't understand the argument. I just don't. I think that the purpose if the right turns on the Jews, I think the right will lose, and I want the right to win.
Lose what?
I think it will lose the things that people like Farage are after, which is power. And I would much rather that the right have power than the left have power. The left are actual Satanists. On, you know, these people chop off children's penises and stuff. So it's really bad what they do. So it, in that sort of pragmatic Winston Churchill type way, you know, it's the worst form of government except all the others. You know, so I don't think Puritanism and identity politics helps the right particularly. It's a lazy view, but it's a view. You know.
If we compromise, we've already lost. It doesn't matter to me.
Oh, look. Oh, okay. Here's a good question. I've got down to the bottom. So the top were full of quite good questions, but the bottom one is, Q, this is from again, someone who doesn't follow me, called Cubic Flares. Picture of Trump dressed as Hitler in his thing. Who is the bigger see you next Tuesday? Father Robinson, Lawrence Fox, Jeremy Clarkson, Nigel Farage, Lawrence Fox, Vladimir Putin, or Lawrence Fox? I'd say you've answered your own question, good my friend. It's, you know,
why do you get more votes?
I think he's. I think.
Also, Trump is the opposite of a Nazi. He's like the biggest Zionist in the world. He does everything for Israel. These people are stupid.
Yeah. Well, on a positive note,
these words mean nothing.
On a positive note, we can end with Pete, our friend Pete Clark, Pete British. Follow him. He's been a Fox and Father followers for a while. He's a good guy. What was Noel Knight was, heard so much about how cheap and friendly it is. Don't forget your Fox and Father follows this week. Also, like and subscribe, everybody. Thank you. And I think I've done my Fox and Father follows. Who did I do? Oh, I'm going to do Sunil Sharma as well. And I'm going to do...
Harmeet
Dhillon. Sunil Sharma. And Lou Liberty Tactics I'm going to do, which is Liberty Tactics. I'm going to ask you to follow her because she is looking into the following on from the Somali luring centres in Minnesota. She is looking into the same sort of thing going on in Birmingham at the moment. So she will be my Fox and Father follows. Who are yours?
I'm just having a look down my feed. I don't know who's been. Oh, you know what? I'm going to give it to DC3. At DC3.
Oh, I like
Media.
DC3.
This is that young black lad.
Yeah, he's great.
We'll show the clip. This is the young black lad. He went on the BBC. He said, my heroes are such and such and such and such. And of course, Jesus Christ. And the presenter goes, I'm like, that's just typical of the BBC, isn't it? Absolutely typical.
And just quickly, who are your heroes?
My heroes are Santan Dave, Kendrick Lamar, most of all, Jesus Christ.
Oh, well, it's lovely to meet you. Daniel Chenjerai, DC3, as you are better known. Thank you very much.
God-hating, vile,
deceiving.
I'm so done with paying these people's salaries. I mean, at least with the BBC, you have a choice whether you choose to pay for the salaries of these wankers, and I don't. And I haven't paid their salaries for over 10 years, so I'm thrilled that I don't contribute to that propaganda wastrel. Right, hopeful thought for the week, please, and then a prayer.
A hopeful thought. Oh, okay, yes. Put me on the spot. We can be hopeful that the globalist elite are recognizing that their time is coming to an end and they're failing. We saw throughout COVID, everyone everywhere was Build Back Better, and the WEF, You'll Own Nothing and Be Happy, was pushed down, shoved down our throats, left, right, and center. And it looked like they were on top of things, but a small number of us fought back. I don't want to list all the names, but you know the people in Britain who were fighting back against that. And now fast forward to today when WEF is happening and we have people protesting, as you know, some of our friends are there protesting, but we have big politicians like Donald Trump pushing back and saying globalism is over, you guys have failed. And Klaus Schwab himself gets up there as the Nazi villain. We are losing the people. They no longer see us as the people to shape the narrative. It's coming to an end. I would be like, yes, it is coming to an end. We will not follow you. We have never followed you. We don't want to follow you. And our politicians should also stop following you. So there's hope in that. Globalism is coming to an end.
I would take the knee to that. I would. Right, prayers out, Calv.
We have a prayer. And, oh, yeah, today is the feast day of St. Agnes. And Lawrence likes to know a little bit about the saints before we pray. So St. Agnes was maybe 12 or 13 in ancient Rome, and some heathens tried to kill her. They dragged her off to a brothel, and she was saved from these wicked men and protected from rape. And her virginity was, purity was protected. And then they tried to burn her at the stake, and the flames would not touch her body. and she was again protected. Eventually they killed her by beheading, but she embraced it with joy, and she is now a martyr. She is now a saint in heaven, interceding for us because of that. Her strong faith is what kept her alive, and her strong faith is what took her to heaven. So let us pray. Almighty, everlasting God, who dost choose the weak things of the world to confound those things that are strong, mercifully grant that we, who keep the festival of Blessed Agnes the Martyr, may perceive within ourselves the effect of her prayers. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. I quite like that. He just used the weak to intercede with the strong, or whatever it was that he said. It's quite good, isn't it? That's the world for you.
That's how God works for us. He takes our weaknesses and uses them to his advantage. He turns our weaknesses into strengths, and I love that.
Yeah, and the best people are the only people you ever want to surround yourself with. People are best people you want to surround yourself with are people who are aware of that one simple truth. So I love you, brother. I'll see you next week, and I'm off to Poland.
Good to see you.
And I'm going.
You're such a jet setter these days.
Well, I want to go, and I want to go and spend some time with Larry, and I want to go. I just want to go. I've never been, and I want to go, and I want to go and see this stuff. I want to, you know, because I want to be able to
Davos. You'd love it.
I don't want to go to Davos. Why would I want to go to Davos?
Our friend Callum Smile cornered Bill Gates.
I know, but I'm not interested in Davos is just like, you know, sorry, but asteroid. Not a big one, but, you know, that would be fine by me.
I mean, it's good if you're going to protest, but what I'm not supportive of is people like Farage saying, oh, I want to go to the WEF and mingle with the elite. Again, make some friends,
get some money, exactly. Yeah. The mark of the beast.
Anyway, thank you all for watching. We're praying for you.
Thank you.